Well, another question I had was not only about culture in itself, but I guess a more concrete example of culture is, how about the language? I myself, I don't speak Chamorro. I don't know very, very little words. And my parents, they speak it with a Chamorro and English, you know, mixed into the conversation, and they understand it more. As far as writing it, they don't. I'm curious to know, because for a person of our generation, you actually read, write and speak it. And I'm curious to know, is how did you start, you know, doing that? Or you know, were you born with it? You know, did you learn it at a very young age, or did you?
No. Oh no, there was World War II was a very traumatic event in Guam, and for so many different reasons. But that was like there was a real cultural disconnect, a rupture right there in terms of connection to land, connection to culture, connection to language. So, and when language is a huge part of it. Before World War II, in Guam schools, Chamorros weren't allowed to speak Chamorro. You were taught everything in English, and you were actually punished or fined for speaking Chamorro. And this was usually white teachers and some Chamorro teachers that were imposing these fines, these punishments upon Chamorros. And what's it called? And Chamorros resisted that. So they would speak English in school as much as they had to get by, and then they would go home and they would speak Chamorro to their families. After World War II, everything changed. So now the schools were full of Chamorro teachers who were imposing English on kids, and Chamorro parents in the homes who were saying, if you want to be something in life, you have to speak English, and you're not going to learn Chamorro.
How did that idea change so quickly?
I mean, a lot of it has to do, at least in my research, in my understanding, a lot of it has to do with the trauma of World War II. And if you go to let's go back to school. For me, everything connects to school before World War II in Guam. Because if you put a child in a school, I mean, in any school, anywhere, what you're doing is you're imposing ideologies upon this child to socialize them or discipline them in a certain way. And so before World War II, the Chamorro child was constantly taught that they were dirty, that they were inferior, that the Chamorro language was useless, that Guam was useless. And sometimes it was explicit, but a lot of times it was just through the absence, in that all the curriculum came from the United States. So you would be on this beautiful island in the Pacific Ocean, and your science class would be about trees in New Mexico or Colorado. You would not learn about what was there. But then school had such an intense social value, in that this is where you're supposed to learn things. These are the things that have value, the things you will learn in school. But you don't learn about your parents, you don't learn about your heritage, you don't learn about the geography of your island, the islands around you, you don't learn any of those things, no history whatsoever. So all these ideologies on the inadequacy, the inferiority, the absence of the Chamorro, they're all there in these kids. They're all there in these kids that are schooled in Guam before the war. What happens is, but then the important thing is, before the war, is that most Chamorros, it was there at a subtle level, a subconscious level, but it doesn't come out in them. They don't really care about being American. They don't really want to be American at all. They're just doing it to get by. But these are all things in the background of their minds. World War II comes. Guam is abandoned by the United States. Several hundred Chamorros die and are tortured or beheaded and so on. The value that America gave itself as being the ideal everything in Guam schools suddenly becomes important to Chamorros, because America proposes itself as the ultimate military power, the ultimate power of justice and, you know, and all goodness in the world. If you're being beaten, starved to death, forced to work by the Japanese, suddenly those ideas gain so much more value, and you can believe them and you can attach yourself to them, because America is the most powerful country in the world. And this is what we've learned in school, and now I understand it. Now I'm ready to believe it. And so this huge trauma of the war, it pushes all these ideas that were in the background, that Chamorros really didn't care about, the indoctrination of the schools, it pushes it into the front of their minds. And so when the war ends, they are all prepared to believe these things and to act them out. So they are prepared to kind of wrench the language from their children. They are prepared to wrench the culture, the history from their children. So what you have after World War II is, your parents' generation, my parents' generation, is we have people who don't know anything about Guam, except, I mean, in terms of, like, history, in terms of culture, and in terms of, they live there and they grew up there, but in terms of thinking how to separate it and analyze it as history or culture, they just don't do that because it wasn't something that was ever discussed. If you were going to be something in life, you couldn't speak Chamorro, you couldn't speak English with a Chamorro accent, you couldn't, you know, you had to learn American history, you had to leave the island, you had to make something of yourself. And so that's a, so my mom doesn't speak Chamorro at all. She understands some. And so I grew up with this absence, especially when I came out into the States. When I came out into the States and I would tell someone I'm from Guam, I'm Chamorro or I'm Guamanian, people would be like, people would require something, because I was saying I'm different than you, they would require something to prove that I'm different than you. It's like, oh, do you speak like Chamorro? And I'd be like, no. You know, do you know the history or the culture of your island? I'd be like, no. And so there was this huge absence in my life because people were saying, look, if you're going to say you're different than us, you have to prove it to us. And a lot of Chamorros out here go through that. And so what happens a lot of times is they'll attach themselves onto a more visible group. Like they'll really go hardcore and identify with Mexicans or Filipinos or white people or African Americans. It's like you're invisible and you don't know yourself well enough to represent yourself. So therefore you have to attach yourself onto someone where it's easier. So if you act very black, you know, then people will accept you. Whereas if you say I'm Chamorro, but you can't prove it, they won't. So I was faced with that and it haunted me. And so when I went to Guam for college, like I was living with my grandparents, and my grandparents who speak English to me but Chamorro to each other, and I mean they're watching like soap operas and they're talking about the soap operas in Chamorro and I have no idea what they're saying. Like it just haunted me all the time. Because I love my grandparents very much. They helped raise me and my brothers. But it was like I didn't have access. I didn't have access to so much of their lives. It was like, because I couldn't speak Chamorro. And so I took one class at the University of Guam to try and learn Chamorro. And I learned a little bit, but I realized that you really couldn't learn it detached from society, detached from the social world, detached from using it in real situations. So I told my grandmother after I took that class, I said, just speak to me in Chamorro every day until I get it. And she did. My grandmother was very supportive. My grandfather wasn't. He was always teasing me. He was always saying, and if you try to learn Chamorro in Guam, you will have someone say this to you. They will say, don't learn Chamorro, learn a language that has value, learn Japanese instead. They'll always say that. And so it can be difficult, but eventually I became very fluent in it. And so now I can talk and I can write. And so, I mean, that's the process that it took. And it's a hard process. And so speaking to people who are listening and who are thinking about learning the language, you have to be very strong because, like, one reason that the Chamorro language was just completely lost is because it was derived of all its value for like an entire generation or two. So no one saw speaking Chamorro as being very important at all. And it's still like that today. People think, what are you gonna learn Chamorro for? I mean, I had a niece and I speak Chamorro to little kids and they always get annoyed because they don't understand what I'm saying. And then I asked one of my nieces, don't you want to speak Chamorro? She said, nah, no one speaks Chamorro. If I'm gonna learn a language, I should learn Tagalog instead because there's more people on Guam that speak Tagalog than Chamorro. And so it's like, it's all these things. It's like, where's the value in learning Chamorro? Chamorro's been stripped of all its value because everybody speaks English or Tagalog. And